Please do take a seat. So I'm just going to pray for Sue before she speaks to us. Yeah, Father God, I just thank you for Sue and for everything that you have placed in her, gifts and talents, and the things that she's learned from you. And I just thank you for her heart for the prophetic and the way that she's sought to bring this into our midst. And I just want to ask, Lord, that you'll just anoint her words this morning, that you will emphasize the words that you want us to hear, and that you will just to pass over any words that you don't want us to hear. But I just pray that you'll help us to open our hearts to hear what you want to say to us through Sue this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hi, everybody. I just feel like I want to say first this morning, I'm so proud of you all. When you all come out and share your heart and what God's done, I get so excited because it's just great to be part of this family who are seeking to hear God and follow what God says. As you know, we started a new teaching series this term, Kingdom Teaching Series. And we're trying to look at what kind of culture do we want at HBC. And culture is basically everything and anything to do with us and the way we do things. The values, the language, the models, all that kind of thing. And we've already looked at the culture of family and the goodness of God, which Andy spoke about 2 weeks ago. And if you were here 2 weeks ago, it was a very special time. And I was very proud of my husband. I always am, but I was particularly that day. And we're now going on to the culture of the prophetic. Now, asking me to speak on the culture of the prophetic for 20 minutes is a bit like saying, how long is a ball of string? So I've done so many notes and so many thoughts, I'm not quite sure what's going to come out. Let's think about what we're talking about, first of all. So what is prophecy? At a simple definition, it's hearing God speak to you, and then it's repeating what you think God has said in a particular context or in a journal or whatever it might be. But the actual word in Scripture carries two elements to it. Yeah. What? First of all, it's about foretelling something you know about the future. Predicting is the actual word. And it's also about forth-telling or forecasting. And that means speaking forth God's truth to create an effect. And two examples in Scripture. In Acts 11, Agabus, the prophet, went to warn God's people about a forthcoming famine. And that was him foretelling what was to come. And then in Ezekiel, I'm sure you all know the passage where Ezekiel prophesies to the dry bones and they come to life. And that's actually speaking forth God's truth. So that's what we mean when we talk about the prophetic. Now, when I first became a Christian, I had a really dramatic encounter with God. And that dramatic encounter in God involved God actually speaking to me, which if you want to know more about it, I can tell you. But because God spoke to me so clearly, and I actually heard him speak, and I had a vision of him speaking, God speaking became really important to me as a person. And so I guess it's been a part of all my journey. And in the first 6 months of me becoming a Christian, Andy and I were going to meetings, and I was getting picked out, and words were given to me. And I was a young Christian, and I was thinking, oh, this is a bit strange. But I learned to understand that that was the voice of God. So why is prophecy important in the Bible? Okay. Very quickly, in the Bible, it's regarded as a gift, which you find in 1 Corinthians 14. And when you hear us talking about strengthening, encouraging and comforting, that's where that verse is. It's also a ministry. You find a ministry of people speaking the prophetic. but it's also an office of a prophet, which you hear about in the fivefold ministry. It also provides vision and direction. In our church, we've had some really key passages and key words from Isaiah 61, a spirit of the Lord is upon me, etc., and Isaiah 54 about spreading out to the left and to the right. And as a leadership team, we really take the prophetic seriously, and we want to hear what God says. So we've got some words at the moment that we've been spoken to us. One of them is about having an empty box or an empty bowl, that every time we feel like our resources are running out, we are to come to God and he will fill that bowl. Now, whether that's with money, people, time, whatever, we are faithfully trying to carry that before God. We've had lots of words to us as a leadership team over the last 4 years, which has been a real privilege, some of which we're still carrying. It helps you to know how to pray for the common good. That verse in 1 Corinthians 12 says it, prophecy is actually given for the common good. So what does that actually mean? That means that whenever we prophesy, it's got to be for someone's good, not for someone's ill, if that makes sense. A couple of weeks ago, Andy and I were at a breakfast at the Link Up prayer meeting. And I was introduced to somebody for the first time, and then we had to pray with the person next to us. And as I was praying, I got this very, very quick image of a bridge. So I thought, okay, I've learned that when God gives me that, I just go with it. So I just prayed for him, and I said, I see a bridge, and I just want to pray about that. I think that means going from one place to another in your life, and God has got you in transition at the moment. Anyway, he stopped me, said, how did you know that? I said, how did I know what? He said, someone gave me a great big picture of a bridge that I've hung on my wall for the last few weeks, and I don't know what it means. And I was really, it was a real honor and a real privilege for me to be involved in that, because we went on to talk about what it might mean. So it's got to be for the common good. It's got to be to release people into their destiny. Last summer, a few of us went up to Harrogate, and we were sitting in a pizza place, and my friend Debbie and others said, well, you're prophetic, Sue. We've just heard about the prophetic. Go and prophesy to that pizza waiter. Now, if anybody knows me, if you give me a challenge like that, I'm going to ask God to speak to me. So I prayed, and I just had the word sport, a really important thing to this guy. So I waited for the whole meal, feeling very nervous and very scared. Kay's laughing because she knows how nervous I was. And I went up to him and I said, excuse me. I thought, he doesn't need a really weird Christian coming up to him. So I said, excuse me. Sometimes God speaks to me and he gives me ideas and thoughts. Would you mind if I just share one with you? No, that'll be great, he says, with his cloth in hand and his spray. I thought he might spray me if it wasn't very good. Anyway, I said to him, I said, I just feel like God says you've got a sport that you're really into. And I then said, I really feel that God wants you to know he really enjoys watching you do this sport and he's going to bless it in the future. And he said, oh, that's great. And he's carry on cleaning his table. So I said, does that mean anything to you? He went, yeah, that means everything to me because I've got this sport I'm trying to develop professionally. And blah, blah, blah. And I went, great. And that was it. And for him, it was just a natural thing. And I came out the shop going, yes, God. So I got really confident. And then we went out to Bethel, went to see Chris and Julie Dimitri. I thought I'll do it in the restaurant with Chris because Chris was doing it. And I fell flat on my face and got it completely wrong. Chris didn't, but I did. But it was okay, because if you do it with humility and you do it with honor, it's all right. It's for people to have confidence and strength. Richard Cohen, I don't know if you remember this picture. You drew this for me about 7 years ago when I was really poorly. And that picture has stayed above my desk. And every single time I look at this picture, I know that God is holding my hand and he's with me. And that's meant so much to me, Richard, so thank you for that. And I get really excited when I see people do pictures. You might not realise, but this one down here was done by Lorna Sears, who's in Thailand, who was on the slide before. And she did it because she felt that this Holy Spirit was really important in our midst, which is the red going through the picture. But we're all very different. And you can ask Lorna about it when you next see her. but we've had that up for a long time. Okay, what else is it for? Well, it's Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1, it talks about recalling the prophetic in order to fight well. So we have to recall the words spoken over our life in order that we might stand in this battle that we live in. That hopefully will bring us to maturity. Sometimes the prophetic brings warning. Agabus the prophet, as I said, about the famine. Whatever we do, the prophetic has to reveal the character and the life of Jesus. And it works often with other gifts like words of knowledge, like I explained before. Another example of it bringing warning, a number of us in this church, it must be 1996, were praying in a house in Hull. And as we were praying, we saw some angels sort of in our mind's eye. And we felt God say, pray that the angels will come and protect Hull. Two nights later, I woke up and there was an explosion in Hull, a massive, massive fire. And I was a teacher at the time, and one of my little boys lived in one of the houses. 20 houses were destroyed by a fire, and all the people got out of the back door and down the entry passage, and the headline paper said, "It's a miracle no one was hurt." Now, I'm sure there were other people praying that night, but for me, that was a real encouragement that when God asks us to pray about those things, we pray about them. So that's another example of warning. I've got so much to say, I haven't got time to say it, but we'll carry on. Where do we start? Well, I believe that every single person in this room, and I can see my friend Kelly from South Africa at the back, who's very prophetic. Every single person that knows Jesus can have the voice of God speaking to them, because you are his sheep and he knows you. He knows you really well. And he's put your spirit in you. But it does take time. We have to really go after those spiritual gifts. And going after prophecy is something I've done for a really long time. So it's for all of us. It's not just for the elite few. If you talk to Sam, he's not here today. He's away for the weekend. But Sam, I went up to him on Thursday or Friday it was. And I gave him a hug and I said, I am so proud of you. Because he just goes for it. He goes for it in the street. He goes for it on the train. Goes for it in the bus. On his sailing boat. While he's teaching sailing. Not quite sure how that works. But he's incredible. And he's got some amazing stories of what God has done. Because he's had the courage just to step out. Now, one of the challenges sometimes with the prophetic is that we all can hear God. But sometimes we don't all hear perfectly. And Andy spoke 2 weeks ago about our 14-year journey of wanting children and how difficult that was and how hard it was. But one of the things he didn't tell you was that I wrote every single dream, picture, word, thought that people gave me. Every single one. Letters of encouragement. I've got a letter here, Derry, that you wrote to me in 2006, I've noticed this morning, of encouragement. Every single word, and then we didn't have children. Now, for someone like me who's prophetic, can you imagine what that was like? It was really, really hard to reconcile. And how do you resolve that? How do you resolve it when people have given you real words of encouragement and strengthening? And in one case, I had a dream that was really, really detailed. And then someone came and joined our church and said, I had a dream about you last night, and here's the dream. And it was my dream, but it still didn't happen. And it was really, really difficult, if I'm honest, to resolve the idea of being a prophetic person in a prophetic church when the prophetic didn't come to pass. And what did that mean? Were some of the words wrong? I don't know. It's one of the things that Andy and I are going to have out with God when we get to heaven. And it's one of the things that we learnt that we had to hold lightly. And when we gave up and laid down the idea of having children, having done an adoption course and all sorts of things, we sat on a beach in Anglesey and we took copies of all the prophetic words because I hadn't got the heart to destroy them all. And we burnt them. And we said, God, we don't understand this, but we're laying it down. We're going to let you have the last word, and it's you that we follow. So sometimes the prophetic is quite tough. But it's really important that we tune in and we let God have the last word. The Bible is full of God speaking to his people. Page after page after page, you find examples. Not just Old Testament prophets like Jeremiah, who were a bit crazy. And Shirley, I don't know if you know, we refer to Jeremiah as the signs prophet, who read the signs. He's got all these pictures. So maybe God will give you pictures as you pursue what God has taught you through Jeremiah. Worship, thankfulness, recognizing that we're all unique. I just love this guy down here. It's Andrew. Andrew's drawing what he feels God said to him. We're going to ask him a bit later what he's drawing. And I'm not a great drawer, but I'm doing my best to express the prophetic. So there's a picture I've done. I also do crazy things like go and buy keys when I feel God's spoken to me. And the particular week that I bought them, Chris Duffett came along and he brought two keys with him because he felt God was speaking to us. So if you want to have a look at them, they're there. So there's lots of different ways. There's feelings, there's dreams. I've had dreams. Pete and Derry don't know this, but I had a dream. I had a dream that about 2 years ago that you would be sitting here listening to me talking on the prophetic. And it just really blesses me. It really blesses me. And there's lots and lots of ways God speaks. And if you're interested, there's some handouts here at the front, 33 different ways, some scripture that I could find and Andrew Elverson can find on how God speaks. Feel free to take those. It's really important that when we are listening to God, and maybe we're listening to God and God gives you a word and you're thinking, I don't agree with that word, or that doesn't resonate with me. We have to test it. We have to weigh it. And to do that, we have to know and be secure in who we are as kids of God, right? You're a child of God. And if someone comes along and gives you a word you're not sure about and it's not quite right, that's okay. That's okay. It's your job to receive it and to test it. It might not always be right because we're not all 100% right. 1 Corinthians makes that really clear. One of the things that I do is I'm also involved in a prophetic group. It's an international group. And every fortnight I'm on Skype and we prophesy and we do, we learn. And one of the ladies who leads it is a teacher and she teaches us more about the prophetic. But she's trying to push us out of our comfort zone. So she asks us to give words that are very directional. And that's quite scary. So I'm hanging around prophets. And sometimes it's a bit weird, I have to say. But sometimes it's amazing. And sometimes I give words and I think they're really crazy. And I think, how does that have any bearing whatsoever? But usually it's okay because we're in a safe place to do it. So that's all about tuning in and recognizing our uniqueness. Now, let's get to this one. How am I doing for time, Andy? Okay. I can't tell you how many conversations Andy and I have had with leaders about how do we develop a safe prophetic culture at HBC. After we gave up the idea of having children, we went through a really hard time. And some of you know my story. And if I'm honest, the prophetic would let go for some time. And I read a book called What Happens When God is Mute at New Wine one summer. And that really helped me to begin to process and think about it differently. So what kind of culture do we want to do? Well, the first and foremost culture, it's got to be focused on God. It's not about me. It's actually a gift that God gives each one of us when he speaks. And it's his grace, not us speaking. So we have to root it in love and respect when we come up to someone something. So one of the things we want to do is to encourage you not to say, God says, and that's the end of the story. I've had prophetic words given to me, and they've been really hard sometimes. And the person came to me and said, God said. And when I said, well, I don't think God said, then it can get quite difficult. So it's really important to be humble, to serve the body with it, to have faith and courage to step out. This is really courageous of Andy, and he's really developed this, but he didn't always do this in his church service, did you? No. And he's really stepped out in doing that, and others have as well, which is really great. We don't want us to exaggerate what we feel God said or to give an opinion. One of the difficulties is if you see somebody and you think, oh, there's a problem in their life, they need a word, it's very easy to give your own opinion in that. So we have to be really careful. And our opinion might not be right anyway. So we want to encourage accountability and feedback in a sense of discipleship. And Ruth was talking about being with the girlfriends on Tuesday night. I was there and we prayed for her son. And it's really great to have that feedback because we were speaking prophetic words into his life, even though he wasn't there. Staying teachable. We have to keep our hearts soft, knowing that we haven't got it all right. But together, collectively, we can discern the will of God. I mentioned language. We want it to be about the Word of God. The Bible is key. And sometimes if I get a word like the one about the bridge, I'll say to God, well, where does it say in the Bible about the bridge and what does that mean? Or where is there a picture of you moving from one place to another and so on to help me to share something? Do it, step into it, guard it, write it down, test it, weigh it. One of the things that I've done for 20 years plus is I have hundreds of these books at home. That's one that was about us not having children. I've got one about our marriage that I've written words about our marriage in. And I've got others with words for HBC in. And I've got others for words as we go along. And I'm always amazed at how God always comes along and always reinforces his word. Because one of the things I like about God, he never says it just once. He always repeats it or says it again. And that's always great. We want to create a culture where people are free to fail. Because we're all going to get it wrong. One of the training events I went on with the team, the Sozo team, is that we had to sit next to people and we had to prophesy a date. So that's really specific and quite hard to do. And I sat next to this guy I didn't know. And the only date I could get in my head was Valentine's Day. And I thought, oh, okay. So I said to this guy, does this mean anything to you? And he went, no, nothing. So I thought, okay, well, doesn't matter. Don't always get it right. And then we went on to the next thing. And he went, oh, I've just remembered. I met my wife on Valentine's Day. I said, oh, that's good. Maybe God's telling you something. Go and bless her. Go and encourage her. So that's the kind of culture that we're trying to create. And we're trying to do it in lots of different ways. And we really encourage prophecy or the prophetic to happen in any small group that we have. If we can all do it and we can all hear God, that means that in every single meeting we have, the prophetic should be there. We should be listening to God's voice. We should be hearing it and we should be acting on it. And that's what we try and do in our leadership team meetings, in our small group meetings, in our missional community meetings, I hope, missional community leaders. The final slide. Oh, sorry. There we go. It's just to say, and I haven't got time to go into this today. I've only been talking a little bit about the gift of prophecy. If you are someone who has a heart for the prophetic, and it's something that God has gifted you with, and you want to journey in that ministry, that is something that you are. Prophets ask questions like, what is God saying? How are the church or me responding to it? And what are we going to do about it? Those are the kind of questions that people ask. So that's where we encourage the prophetic. And if you are somebody who feels that you've got a prophetic gift and you want to develop it, please come and talk to me because I want to know. I want to help you as well. We've done other tools as well. Like here is another handout. What's the difference between the gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet? So you can take those away as well. And we've also, you can have one of these as well, developed these prophetic cards at HBC. One is, how do we weigh prophetic words? And on the other side is, how do we give and receive and respond to prophetic words? And this is a bit like our sort of guidelines, really. Interesting, this morning, I wrote three words down on a piece of one of these that I wondered if they meant anything to anybody. And Derry, I had a picture this morning of a lever and I wrote it on this card and I saw you go up to the back, is that right, with a lever? So I'm really going to ask that we pray for Derry if that's all right later, is that all right? Because I think God wants to speak to you. Because one of the things I want to do is I don't want to stand here and just talk about the prophetic, I want to model it. So I'm going to ask in a minute for three or four volunteers to come out to the front who would like to receive a prophetic word. Okay, three or four. So don't knock me over. And then I'm going to ask for three or four volunteers to come out and prophesy over them. And if someone's got an iPhone, I'd like you to record it because it's really important that you record it, you test it, you take it away and you weigh it to see if it's true. The second word I got on here was a picture of a sailboat. So I've no idea what that means. But if a picture of a sailboat means something to you, I want you to come and volunteer as well. And then, I can't even read my own writing here. What was this one? Oh, yeah. The second one was a song. I don't know if this is, I don't know if this is Judith. Judith, where are you? I just felt like there's somebody here that God wants to sing over today. And I don't do singing. Judith does. So anyone who's gifted in that way, who feels they might have a song to sing over somebody, would they just pray about that now? And we'll get you out to the front in a minute. So let me pray. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to touch three or four people's hearts. And they're going to come out here bravely to receive a prophetic word. And then I'm going to ask three or four, five, six, seven, eight, whatever, people to come out and pray with them. Is that okay? And we're going to do it with those guidelines, in humility, in love, with respect, for strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. All right? So let me pray. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are here in this place and that your voice is the voice that is speaking to us. The voice that we want to hear. So I pray, Lord, would you identify those you'd like to speak to specifically this morning to encourage them, strengthen, and to comfort them. And those that are willing, Lord, to pray and be your vessel, would you speak to them too? Because we want to bless and encourage our brothers and sisters. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Andrew, would you like to just bring your picture as well, if that's all right? I felt this morning Andrew would have a picture as well to encourage somebody. So this might speak to somebody as well as my... Seen stars, oh dear. Stand up. Do you want to tell us what your picture's about?
Well, I'll try, Sue. God's been boiling and bubbling for a few weeks in a wonderful way. Usually I start drawing and then something else, but this time the something else has come and I'm trying to encapsulate it a little bit. Can you hear me? I'm really, really surprised by the Spirit. That's a bit of a phrase, but I really am. It's just amazing at the moment. I can't get over it, so I'll say it again. I'm surprised by the Spirit, and so here we got a big explanation mark. And then the rest kind of speaks for itself. There's fire, there's waves, and there's hearts of different colours. But yeah, can I just have 30 seconds? Sorry. Thanks. What I wanted to say generally, and I kind of miss my slot because of factors, it's like recently, perhaps over the last, since July, so that's last 4 months, I just had this inkling from God while I was sitting at my workplace, which is a till. And the inkling was along the lines of, people have wanted to know me, friends, associates. I've finally accepted that people have wanted to know me. Isn't that great? And we could extrapolate that if we wish. I'm sure everyone is, that we can. God wants to know us. God wants to know us.
That's super. There you go, Andrew. Thank you. Okay. God wants to know us. Whew. So, if you want a word to strengthen, encourage and comfort this morning, would you like to come on down to the front? Bravely. Whew. Okay, brilliant. So we just said, Lynn's just said a sailboat is really significant for her. That's great. That's encouraging, isn't it? Oh my goodness. It's wonderful. Okay, so let me just introduce, this is Arthur and Marie. Arthur and Marie are Rosie's mum and dad. Is Rosie here? No, she's not here. Or Tim's mother-in-law and father-in-law. Okay, so maybe someone would like to come and pray for them. This is Steve. Good old Steve, married to Chris, who's somewhere at the back there, gives away. It's Lynn, Yvonne, and Hilary. Okay, so God wants to know them. So who's going to come and speak a prophetic word of encouragement to them? I want some of the young people down here. Come on. Come on, you can. Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. Okay. Somebody's going to go and pray with Derry as well, but we're not going to get her to stand up. She's going to stay there. Okay. Come on, James. Well done. Over here, anyone going to come on down and pray for people? Who are you going to stand with, guys? Do you want to spread out if you're going to get prayed for? Because we need to make sure everybody's been prayed for. Who do you want to pray for, girls? Who do you feel drawn to? You're not sure? Okay, well, why don't you just join in? Just join in. Okay. So we need some guys. Where are the men? Come on. Guys, where are the men?
Are you going to do it?
No idea. Yeah, just. Can I have the worship team back as well, please? I'll hold it back. Well done. We're just going to carry on worshiping behind them quietly. And Andy, do you want to come and pray as well? And Shirley, we've got Shirley. Come on, Shirley. Okay, if you've got a phone. That's great. Have you got a phone? You can record what's said or write it down afterwards. Brilliant. Anyone else? Any more of the young people? Okay. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is pray for the people you're with. And I'm going to ask that you share anything that comes into your head. Anything. Even if it sounds completely off the wall. Like this morning when I had the sailboat and the lever, I thought that's ridiculous. Nobody's going to respond to that at all. But it's important that we just share anything. That's how we learn. Okay, worship team, when you're ready, that's fine. So off you go. Okay. who's going to come pray for you. Is that okay?
Standing tall in who you are, and who God is. Well, thank you.